Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Pirkei Avos class learning. We have two sponsors tonight. This first sponsor is Susie Fonfeder. Neither of our sponsors are able to make the shiur live. They both said they have to listen to the recording, but they are sponsoring. So Tizku the Mitzvah or the Maisim Tovim. Susie Fonfeder is sponsoring for all the safety. The safe mission and the safe return of the Chayalim and the Chayalot who are defending Am Yisrael, Eretz Medina Yisrael. Amen v'amen. Hashem Yishmer Tzeischa uvo'echa me'ata v'ad olam. And Alana Motzkowitz is sponsoring the Zeicher Nishmas on the occasion of her father's 16th yahrzeit, Shlomo Zalman ben Reb Elchanan. She said she misses him as much as the day that he left this world and he was nifter. And we hope that these Divrei Torah will be as chus for the Aliyah Neshama of Shlomo Zalman ben Reb Elchanan, Alav Hashem. She is also sponsoring in the merit of the safe return of the hostages. And she wrote to me, as I sit here with Mrs. Einav Danino, the mother of Ori Danino, who has been held hostage since October the 7th. So we hope and we pray. Susie Fanfer sponsoring for the safety of our Chayalim and Chayalot. Alana Moskowitz for the safe and immediate return with Brias HaGuf and Brias HaNefesh of Ori Danino, as well as all the Chatufim, as well as the Zecher Nishmas, her father. So let us get into our learning. I'm going to screen share the Mishnah that tonight's shiur is based on. There we go. Could you see that I'm in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis? Yes, thank you very much. So let me just get my pointer. All right. Rabbi Tarfon tells us, we're at the end of Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, Hayam Katsar, the day is short. V'hamalacham merubah, there's so much to do. The days are so short. And there's so much to get done in those days. And I'm sure that's something we could all relate to. But he bemoans the status or the state of humanity. The workers are lazy. They don't realize that there's really only a certain amount of time in which to get things done. And that time goes very quickly. So we have to capitalize and maximize every moment. But unfortunately, the workers, human beings, are lazy. And we don't appreciate how great is the reward. For those in shiur last night, this really reminds me of Rabbi Zavlev's story of grabbing the supermarket items while you still can. Ubal Bais Dochek, I'm the master of the house. Ubal Bais is pushing us. He's urging us. Of course, Baruch Hu's saying, why are you being lazy? Don't you see how little time you have? Don't you see how much there is to do? Don't you see how vast and eternal is the reward in Olam Habar? Why are you being lazy? You have to get to work. Hu Haya Omer. Rabbi Tarfon further used to say, Lo alacham lachaligmar velo ata ben charin lebatami mena. And that is really the focus of today's shiur, and that is what we are going to be speaking about. Lo alacham lachaligmar, the work, it is not incumbent upon you to finish the work. That means you cannot guarantee the end result. Right? Because what has Rabbi Tarfon just told us? Rabbi Tarfon just told us about how much work there is to do. In the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon just said, you should know there's so much to do. Hayam Katsar, the day is short. He's not talking about literally the 24 hours of the day, even though that is very short. He's talking about the 120 years of a person's life. There is so much to accomplish while we sojourn through Olam Hazeh. People don't appreciate. They think, I'll do work tomorrow. I'll go to Ashir tomorrow. I'll do mitzvahs tomorrow. I'll learn tomorrow. Tomorrow, there's not enough time. Before you know it, it's going to be tomorrow after 120. We're lazy. Vascharabe, don't you contemplate how great is the reward? Balabais dochik, and the balabais of Kosh Baruch is the balabais of this world, Makomashalom, and he's saying, get to work. What are you waiting for? He's urging us on. Now Rabbi Tarfon says, it's true. There's so much work to do, but you have to keep something in mind when you do your hashtabas. Even though I told you, Hayam katsarva mlucham ruba, the day is short, but the work is much. Lo alacham lachaligmar. You must do your hishtadlus, but you cannot guarantee the outcome. Lo alecham lechaligmar. The work is not upon you to finish. So you cannot guarantee the outcome. The outcome is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you still must do your hishtadlus, because lo ata ben churin lebatami mena. You are not absolved. You are not free from putting in your effort. You are not at liberty to neglect your tafkid, but you also have to know that the end result is not up to you. which is really what we're going to be speaking about today. Im lamadat Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, notin lechaschar harbe, nosin lechaschar harbe, you will get a lot of reward. V'neman hu ba'malach lechaschar yishai mechaschar plesecha. Do not worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you that reward. He is faithful and trustworthy to pay you back your reward. V'da matan tzcharen shal tzadikim lashad davan. You should know that the reward of the righteous is in the next world. The reward of the righteous is not the reward of the righteous is not in this world. The schar of the righteous is in the next world. So we're going to be looking at a number of different sources from Tanakh to highlight and illustrate this idea for us that lo amlacham lechaligmar lo ata ben chuy libetav mera. Because even though Rabbi Tarfon tells us how much work we have to do, don't think you control the end result. You're here for a brief span of time. Hayam katsar, the day is very short. We have a few years here. We have to do the work that we can do and not be lazy, because now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is urging us to complete our tafkid. But at the same time, you have to also understand that there's no such thing as kochi ve'otzem yadi. The strength and might of my hand, asali asachayel hazeh, I cannot guarantee the outcome. That's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, v'lo ata ben chori libetav mimenu, you are not a free person to absolve yourself of your responsibility from trying. This reminds me very much, there's so much of inyanei dioma on my mind. I'm sure like all of us, I was actually speaking to one of my kids the other week, so I spoke on inyanei dioma. I know, in LA last Friday, I spoke at Yula, the YULA Girls High School. I was speaking to one of my kids at home before Shabbos, so I spoke at the girls' school on inyanei dioma. So the child said, inyanei dioma, was it about the parasha or was it about Eretz Yisrael? I think he said Adar or Eretz Yisrael. So I said both. Those are both inyanei dioma. So we're going to be tying in the inyanei dioma. One, we're actually a week away from Tainis Esther and a week away from Purim, a little bit more than a week away from Purim. And that is inyanei dioma. And of course, Eretz Yisrael, like the two sponsors, is on our minds constantly. So this decree goes out to kill all the Jews. And as divine Hashgacha would have it, Esther is in the palace, and she can be the shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save Am Yisrael. So Mordechai sent her this message. Did you hear what happened? The Jews are all slated to be exterminated, and you have to go to the king. You have to go to beg for your life. Mordechai sends a message to Esther to tell everything that happened. And he sends a message to Esther. We're in Perek Dalet of the Megillah. He sends the text of the law, which was given in Shushan, Lahashmidam, for destruction. Nasano laharos es Esther lahagida. He gives Hasach this letter and he says, show this to Esther, tell her. Uletzavos ala laval amech. And Mordechai is commanding Esther to go to the king. Hayam katsar. Vam lechamiruba. Lishchani though. Plead before the king. Beg him. Beseech the king. Ulevakesh mufanav alama. You must go and tell the king, save my nation. Bring them home now. Go tell the king. So Hasach goes and he does what Mordechai says. He takes the scroll, he takes the edict, he gives Esther the message. Esther sends back to Hasach to command to Mordechai. So what has Mordechai said? Until now you've been a secret king, now you're going to have a grand reveal. You're going to go to the king, you're going to beg him and beseech him for your nation. So Esther says, please give Mordechai a message back. Call Avdei Melech v'amidino samelech yodim asher kol ish v'isha asher yevoa l'melech ach atzar pnimis asher lo yikare ach astas olamis. All the servants of the king know, and every nation, every province of the king knows, that each and every man who will come to the king, to the inner chamber, if he was not summoned by the king, there is one law, and that law is death. There's only one exemption. Lavad me'asher yoshi lo ha'melech ashar vidazav. Unless the king sticks out his golden scepter, v'chaya, then that person will live. So no one can go to the king without being called, including the queen. V'ani lo nikrisi lavad me'asher yoshi lo ha'melech ashar vidazav. He hasn't even called me for 30 days. He's so busy with matters of the kingdom. He's so busy feasting and eating and drinking and probably calling women from the harem because they weren't allowed to go back to their regular lives after they came to this beauty pageant. So he hasn't even had a need for me for 30 days. So I'm surely going to be called. Someone said to me recently, she's actually in the shir, she says she thinks this is the most motivational speech in all of Tanakh. And I think I agree. You know, I'll have the billion, a trillion of dollars. I don't know. Basketball players go to different venues and colleges and universities and offices to give motivational speeches. This is a motivational speech. Mordechai wakes up Esther. He shakes her up and he says, "You listen to me, Esther." Vayomer Mordechai lahashiv el Esther. Mordechai says to return word to Esther. Al tadami binaf sheichli malei beis hamelech mikol yehudim. Do not be silent with your soul. Do not think you will escape with your life and the palace of the king more than all the other Jews. Do the Jews in America think the fate of the Jews in Israel is not their fate? Do we think we will escape whatever the fate of Medina Israel is, which of course, whatever it is, with tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, we could affect a different destiny. But do we think that's their problem? I will escape with my life? If you persist in your silence at this time, ravach v'hatzala yamoda yehudi mimakam acher, salvation and deliverance will stand for the Jews from another place, in allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Makom HaShe'olam. God is the place of the world. Atu beis avich tovedu. And you and your father's house will disappear. You will be lost. You will be anonymous, like all the other hundreds of thousands of Jews in 127 provinces whose names we do not know. And maybe, who knows, Esther? Maybe the whole purpose of your life was for this very moment in time. Maybe the only reason you were born and your neshama joined your guf and you came to this world is so that you could be queen and be the shaliach to save Am Yisrael. And after this motivational speech, Vatomer Esther lahashiv al Mordechai, Esther says to send back word to Mordechai, Leich knosas kol ha-yehudim ha-nimtzim b'shushem. Go and gather all the Jews who can be found in Shushan v'tzumu alai. Fast upon me, fast for me. Next Thursday is a tainis. Al tochu v'al tushdu shoshes yamim. Do not eat and do not drink for 3 days. Laila v'yam. Night and day. Gam and even now asayat sumke. I think that this is very literal. She fasted for 3 days and three nights. Medrash Esther Rabbah says when she was going to the king, she was like fainting. And there were angels holding her up so she should not swoon and pass out. V'gam and even now asayat sumke. Ami yamay meyin zo fast as o v'chein of ol ha-melech. Asher lo kadash. And like this, I will go to the king against the law, the ka'asher avadati avadati. Lo alacha hamlecha ligmar. The work is not upon you to finish. Ka'asher avadati avadati. I will do my ishtalos. Well, ata ben choyin libetav mena. If I have been appointed queen for this moment in history, I am not absolved of performing my task and accepting responsibility and trying to do what I can to save the Jews, because the day is very short. And the work is very great. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is urging us on. And generally people want to be lazy. They think, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow maybe you won't be here tomorrow. And Yesh Ma'achar Shu Achar Zman. Maybe tomorrow means after 120. But we're not going to be here forever. Do it now. But you have to keep in mind, says Rabbi Tarfon, as much effort as you invest, the end result is not up to you. And that's what Esther says with Kasher Avadati Avadati. If I shall perish, then I shall perish. She understands that the end result is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but she will do her hishtadus. If my hishtadus, my concrete effort, is to travel, to fast, to cry, to weep, to rouse the Jews of Shushan on my behalf, to plead my case before the king, then so I shall go. But the end result is always up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But one must do their maximum hishtadus. He did everything that Esther commanded him. This week's parsha is Parshas Pekudei. And in Parshas Pekudei, the Mishkan is completed. The big day kohuna are sown, the vessels are made, the planks, they bring everything to Moshe. No one's able to put it up by themselves, it's too heavy. And Moshe puts it up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina dwells in the Mishkan. It is the completion of Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. That's the also known as the appellation for Sefer Shmos, the Book of Freedom, the Book of Redemption. And the climax of that redemption is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the Mishkan. We built a house for Hashem, Kaviyacha, Vasuli Mikdash, Vashachanti Besochem. He came to dwell amongst us, and he came to dwell within us. And the Mishkan, this tabernacle, is covered by a cloud by day, the cloud of God's presence, and a fire by night. One of the kelim in the Mishkan, which has a lot of relevance to us as Jewish women, is the kior. The kior was the copper laver, which was used for washing of the hands and feet. It is first introduced to us in Parshas Ki Tisa. Let me show you the Pesachim actually. In Parshas Ki Tisa in Sefer Shemos. One second. I didn't have a prayer on the screen because I wasn't planning to take you there, but now I will since I mentioned it. In Parshas Ki Tisa, we are commanded regarding the Kiyar. So this is Perek Lamed of Sefer Shemos. I skipped. Again, everything is commanded in Truma Tetzav and Kitisa. In Vayalka and Pekude, we have the bringing to fruition of what we were commanded to do earlier. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, it's Perek Lamid, Pasuk Yud Zayin, through Chaf Aleph. If you say Karbanos in the morning, the Kiyar passage is part of Karbanos. You shall make the kiyar the laver of copper. You know, like sometimes they'll have, if you go into the facilities, sometimes a bathroom has a sink basin and a pedestal sink. So the kiyar had the basin on top, that was the kiyar, and it also had a pedestal. And the pedestal of copper, the rachza, for washing. It stood in the courtyard of the Mishkan between the copper altar, the Mizbech Ola, Mizbech Nechoshes, Mizbech Adama, Mizbech Chitzon, and the entrance to the tent of meeting. It was not inside the Mishkan. When you entered the courtyard, the first kli that you came to was Mizbech Nechoshes. The second kli that you came to, the second festival, was this kiyar. After the kiyar, you came to the entrance of the Mishkan. V'nasato shem amayim, you shall put their water. What is the purpose of this kiyar? Everything in the Mishkan, nothing was left to imagination. It's very exacting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs exactly how everything should be done. What is the purpose of this? Aaron and his son should wash from it, their hands and their feet. They would put the right hand over the right foot and stick it under the spigot and wash. The left hand over the left foot, stick it over under the spigot and wash. When they come to the tent of meeting, before they do any avodah, they have to wash with water, they shall not die. And Rashi says here, I know you don't see Rashi on the screen, but the fact that it says, v'lo yamusu, if they wash, they will not die. We deduce from here, Chazal learn out, that if they do not wash, they're chai misa b'deishim ayim. So this isn't for hygienic purposes, and it's not for cleanliness. You could come having just taken a shower, and you're physically very clean. This is a spiritual cleansing before you come to do the avoda of the Mishkan. It's so important and such an integral part of their service of the Kohanim in the Mishkan that if they did not wash, they're chai misa b'deishim ayim. They're liable for the death at the hands of heaven. Or when they come to the Mizbeach, to serve, lahaktir isha la Hashem, to offer the fire offering to Hashem, v'rachatzu yadehem v'ragleim, v'lo yamusu, v'haysa lahem chok olam lo uzaro l'dorsam. They shall wash their hands and feet, they shall not die, it will be for them an eternal statue, them and their children for a generation. So it's an integral part of the avoda. The big godim were an integral part, the big day kahuna, the priestly vestments, the opening carbon of the day, carbon tamid, which is also brought down for us actually in Tetzaveh, the closing carbon of the day, lighting of the menorah, arranging the showbreads, everything was very exacting, and the kiyar was this copper laver, and its base was also copper, and it was an integral part of the avodah. And in Parshas Pekudei, we read about the construction of the kiyar. But I'm going to take you to the pasuk in Vayakel, which is not this week's parasha, but it's last week, the pasuk in Vayakel that tells us what the kiyar was made from. I'm going to put you up here, okay? So let's just remember where we're up to. We started with the Mishnayos from Rabbi Tarfon, and two Mishnayos from Rabbi Tarfon, where he tells us there's so much to do in your life in this world, in the 120 years that we're allotted. Time is very short. Time goes so fast. It's already Erev Purim. That means it's almost Pesach. And people are lazy. They think they have all the time in the world. Why should I go to shiur today? I'll go to shiur tomorrow. I'll go to shiur in 3 months. I'll go to shiur in 6 years. I have so much to do. Why should I learn Torah? Why should we learn Torah? I should give tzedakah. I'll give tzedakah tomorrow. I should daven. I should take another tefillah upon myself tomorrow. It's the Yetzer Hara, the two-trick pony. That's Rabbi Miyamin HaTzadik from the Mir. Yetzer Hara is a two-trick pony. The first half of your life, he tells you, you're so young. Don't do it now. When you get older, there's time for Avodas Hashem. And then that's one trick. You're so young. Don't bother with Avodas Hashem now. Rabbi Miyamin Finkel, known as Rabbi Miyamin HaTzadik, in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. If I'm not mistaken, my son told me recently, I think last summer maybe, spoke in Darche, or in the Darche camp, but I don't remember exactly. So he says, the HR is two tricks, that's it. Just two tricks. One is, you're so young, don't do Avodas Hashem today, you have plenty of time. First, enjoy this world, and then you'll get to the serious stuff later. Then what happens? Later, Yetzer Hara suddenly switches his tune. Now you're going to start being a servant of God. You're so old. You should have done this when you were younger. Now you're going to change your life. Now you're going to start davening. Now you're going to start learning. Now you're going to keep kosher. Now you're going to do tikkun amidos. It's too late. You missed the boat. That's his whole ploy. Two tricks. You're too young. You're too old. And no one knows exactly when he switches from one to the other. But at some point in everyone's life, all of a sudden the voice that says, enjoy life. You're so young. Why work now in service of God? Says, you're so old. Now you're going to work in service of God. Paulim at Salem, so people are lazy. We think we have all the time in the eternity. Vaschar harbi, but do you not contemplate the reward that's waiting for us in the Olam Emes? Ubal Vayis Dochet, Kosh Baruch Hu is urging us. He's saying, why are you wasting your time? A moment lost is a moment you will never get back. Huaya Omer, lo alacham lechalik mar. Rabbi Tarfon says, so now I just urge you to do work in Avodah Hashem, but I'm telling you something. You cannot complete the job. Only a Kosh Baruch Hu determines the outcome. But doesn't mean you must do your histadas. But the end result's up to God. Now we went to Megillas Esther, and I think that this very much is reflective in this passionate exchange between Mordechai HaYehudi and Esther Hamalka, Mordechai Tzadik. She says, why should I go? I've been called for 30 days. Certainly he's going to call me. Mordechai says, no, for this exact moment you have been born. This is why you are queen. And she understands, and she says, I will do hishtalus. What's hishtalus? I'm ordering you to gather all the Jews. We're going to fast. We're going to put on sackcloth. We're going to be marbed with tefillah. We're going to increase our prayers. But I also understand, kasher avadati avadati, that if I shall perish, if I will be lost, then I will be lost. I can't do more than my hishtalus, and then I know the rest is up to God. Then we went to the passage from Kitisa that instructs us regarding to the cure. Regarding the cure. Okay, let's look at this Rashi together. The Pasuk tells us in Vayakal, how did they make the cure? So in beginning of Pekudei, there's an accounting given of all the materials collected for Mishkan. How much gold, how much silver, how much copper, the ram skins, the blue wool, the purple wool. The people donated in order to construct the Mishkan. One of the things that was donated was copper mirrors. And these mirrors made up the copper laver. Vayas es hakiyor nechoshes. Betzal is a master craftsman, of course. Betzal ben Uri ben Chur, Lamate Yehuda. He's working along with Aliyah ben Achisamach, Lamate Dan. These are the two master craftsmen working together. And they have under them craftsmen working. Vayas es hakiyor nechoshes. He, presumably Betzal, made the kiyor from copper. The es kanu nechoshes, and the pedestal, the base from copper. But maros hatzovos asher tzavu pesach ol moed. That the mirrors of the women who congregated at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So what's the pshat? How long were they in Egypt for? Redu, gematria redu. Yaakov Avinu said to the Shvatim, redu shivru lanu ma'ochal. Go down and buy, procure for us from some food during a time of famine. The gematria of Redu is 210. How long were they in Egypt for? Reish 200, Dalet Vav, 4 and 6. There's an allusion to the 210 years. These brothers going down. Yosef being sold. This is all part of the cycle of Kosh Baruch Hu's Ratzah. And Redu, Shivu Anu Ma'ocha, go down, procure for us, buy for us some food. Redu, 210 years. That's how long we're going to be in Egypt. 210 years. Of those 210 years, they were slaves for over 100. According to the count in the art scroll, Chumash Rashi, there's some other counts, but according to the art scroll, Chumash Rashi, they were slaves for 100, based on Seder Olam, based on the count from Seder Olam, they were slaves for 116 years. Okay, so it's totally impossible for us to fathom what we're saying. As you know, because I speak about it very often, my grandparents, Aleihem Shalom, were all Holocaust survivors. My grandmother, my paternal grandmother was in Auschwitz. She knew how to sew, so she sewed uniforms of the Nazis. My other three grandparents, my mother's parents and my father's father, were all married before the war with children. My mother's parents were from Poland. The Nazis came in 39, Yimach Shem V'Zichron. They all lost daughters. I've told you this before in the Shoah. So I don't understand what it even means. I don't understand what that means. And I certainly do not understand what it means that they were slaves for 116 years. A And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because when we learn this Rashi, which you may or may not be familiar with, it's not stum Rashi, and it's not stum, oh, the women were so brave. At a certain point, you don't give up. Fine. 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? 40 years? You still believe a Gula's coming? After how many years do you say, oh, okay, maybe Hashem has forgotten about us? It's not just that they seduced their husbands to continue Klal Yisrael, and that's what the Kiyor was made from. We have to put it into a perspective that we cannot understand, that this situation seemed way more hopeless than our situation today. 116 years, over a century. As I'm speaking it, I don't know what that means. I'm a slave, my grandmother is my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, maybe hers. I don't know how long exactly generations were. Or you could calculate the lives, but still. And they were there for 210 years. And they're throwing babies into the river. And they're beating them in the fields. Manger says the blood of the slaves mixed with the straw. When they mixed the straw with their feet, the blood would mix in. The babies were bricks if they didn't finish the quota bricks. And the reason I'm saying this is because I can't understand anything. Oh! 1 second. 1 second, please.
Do you know who it is?
Okay. Sorry, we're not answering the door. Could I continue? But it's not fathomable for us. When we talk about, when we're going to learn this Rashi, what it means to have such emuna and to act upon it. I understand lo alacham lechaligmar. I might not know when the geula will come. We hope the geula is coming right now. Wouldn't that be cool? In the middle of Shir, the knock on the door is the geula. Tomorrow, Erev Shabbos, there'll be total redemption. But we don't know when. Be'ita, achishana, we don't know. But just because we don't know when it's coming, just like Esther Hamalka didn't know the end result, but she had to go and she knew that, just like Rabbi Tarfon says, just because you cannot guarantee the end, you are not absolved from doing your effort. And the courage of the woman in Egypt, the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, B'schar Nashim Tzidkanyo Sheba Oso Adar Negal Yisrael Mimitzrayim. You want to know why the Geula happened? You want to know why the redemption happened? Because the women didn't give up. But now they didn't give up after 5 months and a few days, since October 7th. Now they didn't give up after 5 years or 6 years, the hell on earth that my grandparents, Rachman al-Latsan, and so many of our ancestors survived. I don't even know what it means when I say 116 years. It's not fathomable to me. 6 years isn't fathomable. So how should I understand what 116 means? So how did they make this QR? Maybe it was the holiest kli on the whole Mishkan. V'nos Yisrael ha'yubi adan mar'os. The daughters of Israel had in their hands mirrors. Shara os bahen kishahein miskashtos. I wasn't going to screen share first, but I figured I'm screen sharing the Mishnah. I'm screen sharing the psukim from Esther. This I'm going to help learn with you together inside. Kav yachal. V'nos Yisrael ha'yubi adan mar'os. Shara os bahen kishahein miskashtos. The children of Israel, the daughters of Israel, the women, had mirrors. And what did they do with these mirrors? They would use them for what we use mirrors for. You want to see how you look before you leave the house. So when you get dressed in the morning, if you wear makeup, if you don't, when you put on your clothing, you want to see how you look. So you look in a mirror. So it was the same in Egypt. And even these, they did not hold back from bringing. They put out a call. Hashem says to Moshe, V'yichuli chumim eis kol yishashay, denu libu tichwes chumasi, V'losa chumashar tikach, mi'itam zahav u'kesef u'nechoshas. Beginning of Parshas Chumah. Hashem says, take contributions to build me a home. You need gold, silver, and copper. So the woman said, oh, they need copper. We have copper. We have mirrors. Copper mirrors. And these they did not hold back from bringing to the contribution of the Mishkan. V'haya mo'eis Moshe behen. V'pnei shasui li'etzahar. So today, mi'us in Ivrit, like it's something disgusting. Moshe rejected them. Moshe was not interested in these mirrors. Why? Moshe says, what does a woman use a mirror for? She uses it to look beautiful. And that's the Yetzer Hara. She goes out, someone might look at her, she looks beautiful. I don't want these mirrors. Moshe said, no, thank you. The copper, if you have other kinds of copper, I'll take it, but not this. Because they fulfill the desires and drives of the evil inclination. Because Baruch Hu said, you don't understand. Don't you know Moshe, your own father, gave up? Sota Yud Beis Amen Aleph. Don't you know your own father, who is the Gadol Hador, Amram Gadol Hador Haya, Sota Tuavi? Quote of the Gemara. And what did Amram say? After a certain point in time, Amram said, L'shav Anu Amelim. Amad V'Gireish Es Ishto. Amram said, this is purposeless toil. Why are we having families? Why are we bringing children into the world? Look how the world despises Klal Yisrael. The whole entire world despises Klal Yisrael. Why should we have children? Why should we continue Knesset Yisrael? What did Amram do? He stood up and divorced his wife. Michal is not saying anything. Look at the sources. Amad Kulam. Everyone got up. And what did everyone do? Gerishu is Nishosem. Everyone said, oh, the God old Dar does something. We all have to do something. So everyone followed suit. He divorced his wife. So they all divorced his wife. Because Baruch Hu said, Moshe, you're going to get rid of the mirrors? You know what these mirrors represent? That a Jewish woman never gives up. Even if she doesn't know exactly when the Gula is going to come. Esther didn't know how or exactly when it was going to come. She didn't know how long she was going to have to suffer like this. We don't know when the Gula is going to come. And the Bnei Yisrael in Egypt didn't know when the Gula is going to come. Because Baruch Hu says, the end's up to me. But you must continue on with grace, with dignity, with the chayin that Esther was endowed with, the amuna of the Nashim Tzidkanios in Egypt. Amar lo Kosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Kabel, you think you don't want these? I'm telling you, accept them. Take them. Ki elu chavivin alai mina kol, these mirrors, or these women, chavivin, maros, nashim, tzidkanios, these mirrors and these women are more precious to me than everything. Shal yadeim hem midu anashim tzavos rabos v'mitzrayim. You know why there's still a Klal Yisrael today? Because when the situation looks so bleak that one wonders if Mashiach is on the horizon, but women did not give up. They gave mirrors to the Mishkan, they took tambourines out of Egypt, they always believed in a Geula. Even when the other half of the nation did not. Shal yadeim hem midu anashim tzavos rabos v'mitzrayim. Through these mirrors, the women established legions and offspring in Egypt. How so? By the way, they weren't, I don't want to give the wrong impression. The Gemara says that when Miriam gave Amram rebuke, you're worse than Paro, Miriam said. Paro only decreed on the males, you're on the males and the females. Paro decreed that the neshamas would not come to Olam Haba, but you decreed Olam Haba, Olam Haza. Paro's a Rasha, maybe it won't come true. You're a Tzaddik, your decree will for sure come true. Okay, so what did Amram do? He married his wife again, and everybody married their wives again. Okay. So I don't want you to think that I left off there, that now I'm telling you the rest of the story. This is between a man and woman who are not married. They were married, but the men were exhausted. They had given up. The men were worn down. They were broken. They were exhausted from this back-breaking labor. The women, the wives, went. And they brought them food and drink. And the Gemara in Sota, Yod Aleph, says that they took two pails, P-A-I-L-S, down to the wells. And they caught a pail of water. And Hashem prepared little fish there in the water and a pail of fish. They would come home and heat the water and cook the fish, presumably. Then they would go down to the fields with this pot of warm water and this pot of fish. Rashi doesn't tell you. Rashi's basing it on the Gemara, but the Gemara gives you more details here. They would wash their husband's feet with the warm water, and they would feed them fish. I just thought of something. Why davka fish? I just thought of something. Maybe in fulfillment of Yaakov Avinu's bracha, Hamachal Gol Simikra Perak Mem Chesed Bereishis Yivarech Esan Arim V'Karivam Shumi V'Shem Rosai Avram Yitzchak V'Yid Gula Rab B'Kerav Haaretz. Why davka fish? I don't know. Maybe the Gemara says they fed them melons. They fed them meat. I don't know. They fed them bread. That's with the fish. Maybe it's an allusion to the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. The angel that protects me from all bad should bless these lads and call them in my name and the name of my fathers, Avraham Yitzchak, and they should multiply like fish throughout the land. So maybe they're feeding their husband's fish is symbolic of the bracha of Yaakov Avinu coming to fruition. Now, why fish? Did he bless them with fish? Fish are underwater. They're hidden from Ayin Hara. Fish also swim in schools. A message of Achdus and unity. Klai Yisrael has to know how to be together if they want to be protected against their enemies. Hayohochos u'malichos ha'machol mishta. These brave women would go and feed their husbands food and drink. U'machilos osam v'notlos ha'mash. And they would feed them, and then they would take these mirrors. So once the husbands, their feet were washed, they had something to drink, they had something to eat. Now they would also pack in their cooler on their way to the fields a mirror. And each one would look at her husband in the mirror. Now, the Amram says, L'shavanu amelim, and Paros have called Ben Yilad Eretz Shlichu. The women also didn't know the outcome. They couldn't guarantee the outcome, but they did know that I'm only here for X amount of time, and I am not absolved from doing my effort. And each one saw herself with her husband in the mirror. She was flirting with her own husband. U'mishadaltu bedvarim. She would seduce her husband with words. Lomar. Anina amimcha, she would say, who's mirror, mirror on the wall? Who's most handsome of them all? Umitoch kach mviosavan lide taiva. And those ones were exhausted and broken and hopeless. And they could not see that a geula would come. Through this food, drink, washing, and seductive, beautiful appearance, they would bring their husbands to a state of physical desire. They would have relations there. They would conceive, and they would have children. So this QR made from these mirrors that you want to reject Moshe, you know why we still have a Klal Yisrael? Because of the faith of these women in these mirrors. That's what they represent. You don't want these mirrors? Shanemar tachasap tapuch araticha. Under the apple tree, as if you're worried, the Gemara there also says that there were like borders, boundaries. There were walls in the fields, and it was done as a tzanua fashion. And this is what it means by the mirrors of the woman who congregated, benasa kiyar mehem. And the kiyar was made from these. Now he starts to talk about sota and the shalom bayis. I don't want to get into that because of the time, because I want to do something else still. And then, vateidah l'chashein maros mamish. Rashi says, you should know, now he's going to quote from Parshas Pekudei, that these were mamish mirrors. Mamish mirrors. Actually, real mirrors. Discernible and identifiable as mirrors. Sharei ne'mar nechosha satnuva shivim kikar. He's quoting from Pekudei now. Because in Parshas Pekudei, it tells you they collected shivim kikar, 70 kikar of copper. And it tells you what they made from that copper. The mizbech nechoshas, the hooks in the goat hairs that held the goat hair covering level together, the sockets of the outer exterior beams. That tells you these 70 kikar copper, this is what it was used for. However, the chiyar v'chano lo huzkusham. When it tells you 70 kikar of copper, it does not mention the kiyar. So that means the kiyar was made from different copper. Not the copper that they collected from everyone. Special copper. Which copper? The mirrors of the woman. So you should know that the copper of the kiyar, the mirrors, was not counted. It wasn't melted down, says Rosh Hashem Shemfal Hirsch. Unbelievable. And it's Peyush and Chumash. It says it was identifiable that they were mirrors of them. So you could go to the kiyar and you could say, that's my mirror. And that's how Targum Unkos translates it. And I think and I hope, and I'm telling to myself, that it's a chizuk for us in our times. There is so much work to be done in Olam Hazar. Time goes so fast. The day is so short. We must keep in mind that we cannot be lazy. We can't listen to the two-trick pony. We're never too young or we're never too old. The reward is so great. And Kosh Baruch Hu is urging us to do our work. But we also have to keep in mind, you know, the mashal's told about someone who's pushing the car of the train. Two passengers. One's late for his meeting. He's pushing the car of the train. So his fellow passenger says, what are you doing? He says, I'm late for my meeting. I want the train to go faster. I'm pushing the car. So his friend says, you fool. Pushing the side of the car is not going to make the train go faster. The conductor is driving the train. So what's his status? You have to buy a ticket. You have to know the train schedule. You have to go down to the station. You have to get onto the train and find your seat and get off at your stop. You're not absolved from doing your effort. You're never going to get to where you're going if you don't even get on the train. But you think you're going to make the train go faster than the conductor of the world wants it to go? And this is what Esther Hamalka understood. I will do my maximum effort. Kasha avadati avadati. But the end result's not up to me. The end result's up to Kosh Baruch Hu. But I will maintain my amuna, my chen and my dignity, my faith and my prayer. And then I will cast my lot upon Kosh Baruch Hu. Shtech al Hashem yehavecha. V'hu yechal kalecha. And when we talk about the mirrors of the woman, it's actually impossible to understand their amuna. So we don't know what it means, how long they were in slavery. And after 80 years, the new generation was still able to say, you know, the Gula is going to come, so I'm going to bring my husband to a point of desire so he could have a child after so many years. And that's what the Kira was made of. Just before this year, my son and myself went for a little walk at 6:30, so we left our phones at home. So when I came back from this walk, it was already 10 to 7, and I saw a message on my phone from Alana Moskowitz, one of the Shir sponsors. So she said, I'm sitting here with Einav Danino, Ori's mother. Would you like to come meet her? She says, we're home for a few more minutes. So I have a Shir very soon. She says, we have to leave soon. My son already met Mrs. Danino yesterday in school. She spoke in his school. But I said to my son, come with me and we'll go meet her. So right before this year, I got home like half an hour before. I went to meet Mrs. Einav Danino. I went with my son, Haima. Brucha ba'ah. So first of all, I want to show you, I mentioned last night in Shir the card that they gave out. I asked her if she had an extra card because I wanted one for my other son. So she gave it to me, so I'm going to show you. Okay, so could you see Ori Danino? He is 25 years old. I just came from meeting his mother. This is Ori Danino. This is the front of the card. No. And this is the back of the card. The back of the card is two kapitach of Tehillim. You see Ori's image on the back. Parach of Zayin of Tehillim and Parach Kuf. He is named Ori after the David Hashem Ori V'yishi. Hashem is my light and my salvation. Mimi Ira, from who shall I be afraid? He's named after Ori, the light of Hashem. Hashem is my salvation, Parach of Zayin of Tehillim. And the next kapitel on the back of the card is Parach Kuf, which is Mizmar Lasoda, a song of thanks. Ariel Hashem Kol Aretz, shout out to God, the whole earth. Serve God with gladness, come before Him with joy. Know Hashem is, He made us, we are nothing without Him, we are the flock of His pasture. Come to His gates in thanks, to His courtyard with praise. Give thanks to Hashem, praise His name, bless His name. Ki tov Hashem le'olam chasto, Hashem is good. His kindness is forever. Va'ad dor va'dor emunaso. Until generation into generation is His faithfulness, His trustworthiness. This is the back of the card. It says on the bottom, after these two kapitach of Tehillim, please daven for the safe return of Ori ben Einav Efrat. And this is the front of the card. Ori is 25 years old. He has been missing since October the 7th. Hostage, not missing. So I asked Mrs. I went to Alana Moskowitz's house, me and my son went over quickly. And I asked her, what message does she want me to tell over? So I teach a lot of people, what message do you want to share? So I took notes and I rewrote it when I came home. Hani soyon hazeh, ani lo sho ela che'ilo labori olam. This nisayon, this trial that God is putting me through, I don't ask questions to the creator of the world. Ani omeret kol yom todah rabah. I say every day, thank you. Todah rabah, thank you very much. Shehu bachar bi, that God chose me. B'nisayon zeh, and this nisayon. Ani omeret todah l'Hashem. I say thank you, Hashem. Shaben sheli chatuf velo met. I say thank you, Hashem, that my son was taken captive and he wasn't killed. Yesh li amuna bebore olam. I have faith in the creator of the world. Yesh li bitachon. I have trust. Abba lo oser ra la yiladim shelo. A father does not do bad to his children. Ein davar ra sheyored mehashem leolam. There is nothing bad that comes down from Hashem to this world. Im omrim toda al hakoshi. If we say thank you for the difficulty. Va'az ani ma'amina. Then I believe. Shashem yitenenu harbei dvarim tovim. And I believe Hashem will give us many good things. Chashuv lehagid todah al dvarim tovim. It's important to say thank you for the good things. Aval gam kein hagi todal dvrim kashim. We must also say thank you for the difficulties. And I asked her at Loa Yefa, she was in Buenos Aires before this. She's been speaking in a lot of schools. She's going tomorrow to Manhattan High School. Then she's going, I think they said, to New Jersey for Shabbos. She's going to Miami. And I'll tell you something. My son said to me in the car on the way home, we both didn't know what to say. I said, she looks so, my son said, broken. Any person who would see this woman would say that is a broken woman, just from looking at her. But there is not a one-to-one correlation between her external physical self and the spiritual reserves inside of her. Because despite her external, at one point in the middle, she started crying. She just broke down. But when I asked her, at lo ayefa, are you not tired? Ani chayavet liyot chazaka b'shvil haben sheli. Ani lo yechola liyot ayefa. I need to be strong for my son. I cannot be tired. And then I asked her a final message, and she said, Anu tzrichim lihiyot biyachad. Chayavim lihiyot biyachad. And the final message she said is, yes, I have a final message. We have to be together. We all must be together. And if you see her, she really, in her exterior physical self, looks like a broken woman. It was impossible for us to imagine 116 years. It's also completely impossible to imagine what it means that these families have not seen or heard from and have no news on their immediate loved ones for over 5 months. I can't even understand. I can't even, when we say it, we don't know what it means. But this is her message. And this is what she said. So though her exterior looks in a very traumatic state. I mean, she's dressed, she's blocking, she's talking, but my son said she looks broken. But inside, she has a truly unbreakable spirit. And this is the focus of her life. I'm going to read it again without saying the English, because I already said the English. This is what she said verbatim. At one point, I didn't get it right, so she corrected me. She pointed, I had to rewrite it. אני אומר כל יום תודה רבה שהוא בחר בי בניסיון זה. אני אומר תודה להשם שהבן שלי חטוף ולא מת. יש לי אמונה בבורי עולם, יש לי ביטחון. אבא לא עושה רע לילדים שלו. אין דבר רע שירד מהשם לעולם. אם אומרים תודה על הקושי, ואז אני מאמינה שהשם ייתן לנו הרבה דברים טובים. חשוב להגיד תודה על דברים טובים, אבל גם כן להגיד תודה על דברים קשים. את לא עייפה? אני חייבת להיות חזקה בשביל הבן שלי. אני לא יכולה להיות עייפה. This test, I do not ask questions about God. I say every day, thank you very much that you chose me for this test. I say thank you to God that my son was captured and not killed. I have faith in the creator of the world. I have trust. A father does not do bad things to his children. There is nothing bad that comes down to this world from God. If we say thank you for the difficulties, then I believe Hashem will give us many good things. It is important to say thank you for the good things. It is also important to say thank you for the difficulties. Are you not tired? I have to be strong for my son. I cannot be tired. And her final message, Anu tzrichim liot biyachad, chayavim liot biyachad. We have to be together. We are obligated. It is incumbent upon us to be together. When will the end come? We don't know. Rabbi Tarfon didn't know. Esther Malka didn't know. The women in Egypt didn't know. And we also don't know. But that doesn't mean we are absolved from the task of trying our maximum hishtados to look at the courageous foremothers who came before us. Queen Esther, who accepted the task upon herself, though it was very, very difficult. The women in Egypt, who are facing something the length of time is impossible to fathom. To all the generations that in their merit, the Geula came. A woman like Mrs. Einav Danino, Kosh Baruch Hu should bench her. Kochus HaNefesh, Kochus HaGuf, the ultimate Yeshua, Bekor Mamish. Rabbi Tarfon says there's so much to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects a lot of us. We can't be God. We have to leave the end result up to God. But we must put in our efforts to affect the redemption. May it be immediately in our days. We thank Susie Fronfeder very much, who is sponsoring this for the safety of our Chayalim and Chayalot, who are defending Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and Medina Yisrael. We thank Alana Moskowitz very much, who is sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas, her father's 16th Yahrzeit, Shlomo Zalman, Ben Rab Achanan, Alav Shalom. And as she wrote this, she said, I'm sitting with Mrs. Einav Danino, the mother of Ori, hostage since 10/7. The back of the card says, please daven for the safe return of Ori Ben Einav, Ayin Yod Nun Bet, Ori Ben Einav Afrat, Yeshavu Banim Legvulam. Rachel never stops crying. Shamir Mia Lamed Alf, what I just started to quote. Kol Ben Rama Nishma, Nehi Bechi Tamrimim, Rachel Mavah Kol Banesh. She says, Akash Baruch, I don't know when the Gula's come. You know when the Gula's coming, but until it comes, I'm not going to stop my efforts. I'm going to keep crying for my children. She says, I will not be comforted over my children until you, God, bring them back. What does Hashem say? Hashem says, there will be a time when you will stop crying. You will hold your voice back from tears. Why? There is reward for the effort. There is hope for the end. His mother looks like every second she is in such visible pain. It's. V'shavu banim legvulam, sons shall return to the borders. V'shavu me'eretz oyev, they will return from the lands of the enemies. We should be zocha in the merit of the amuna of the woman, Esther Malka, the woman in Egypt, Mrs. Einav Danino. We shall take inspiration. We should learn this in the merit of our collective amuna. Tzrichim liot biyachad. Bezrat Hashem, we will see the return immediately. Mashiach Tzidkenu, Amen v'Amen. Thank you so much, Besoros Tovos, and Good Shabbos to all.